talk a little bit about the you had this dream, or this, your eyes were open that college was a reality, but your school didn't agree with you.
When I was in high school, like I said earlier, I caught a glimpse. It's like seeing the Holy Grail go by, you know. Caught a glimpse.
Start over again without,
okay.
Like I said,
no hands?
No, hands are fine. Not like I said earlier, because we don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
When I was in high school.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I wanted to go to college. And I had gotten the idea of going to college by speaking to the college students who were there from Berkeley and other schools. But I didn't know how to go to college. I didn't know what I needed to do. I wrote letters to senators and congressmen, and I said, I want to go to college. Can you give me some guidance? What do I need to do? And most of them responded, but they responded with books on the Constitution or letters saying all the good things that they've done in the community. Not a single one of them responded by telling me how to get to college. And I didn't have anyone in the community to talk to. So, of course, I did what any other high school student would do, and that is I spoke to my counselor. And I asked him how I could go to college. And his response was, you don't want to go to college. College will not be good for you. If you go to college, you'll probably go crazy. And I thought this was very strange advice from a counselor, particularly since I was doing so well in school. In my graduating class, there were 585 students. I tied with two other people for third place in my graduating class. So I pretty much had straight A's. I had problems in one class that I won't mention, but I couldn't understand why someone who is practically a straight A student for 4 years, and that's because I could have even done probably A-plus work, but I was working 4 hours after school. Why a counselor would tell me that I would go crazy if I went to college? And I told him that just didn't make any sense to me. And he says, you know, I know many fine Mexican-American youths just like yourself who had gone to college, and they turned crazy. And even though I was young, I didn't think that that made any sense. So I insisted that I wanted to go to college, and I wanted his advice as to what I should do. He refused to give me any advice. He insisted that there was no way that I could go to college, and he said, be sensible. You know that your parents have no money. College requires a lot of money. What are you going to do without any money? And I said, well, I can work. Maybe I can get some scholarships. And he said, college is too expensive. You're not going to make it. That was the advice that he gave me. I then found out from the college students that you have to pick a college and you have to request that your transcripts be sent to that college. You get an application from the college, you write to them directly, and you request that your transcripts get sent. So I did that on my own. I wrote to several colleges. I got the applications. I filled them out. I then went in and put in a request for my transcripts to be sent. Unfortunately, at that time, we're talking of 1968, the counselor had to sign off to have the transcripts sent. And he refused to sign off because he didn't think I should go to college. And I kept begging him to please sign so that my transcripts could get sent because I couldn't go to college otherwise, and he refused. And it really wasn't until close to the end of the year that I finally got brave enough to say, maybe I can talk to someone else in the office who will sign off. And I spoke to the associate dean of women. And I spoke to her, and I said, I'm having this problem. And I explained to her what had happened. She was, of course, outraged. And she immediately signed to have my transcripts sent. But unfortunately, by then, it was too late. I got letters saying, your application came in too late. Your transcripts came in too late. And we cannot offer you admission. So, needless to say, I was devastated, and I was very angry. because it was my counselor's fault that I had not been able to go to college. So I decided that I should do something about that. And I was a member of an organization in the community. It was doing community work. And I spoke to them, and I told them what had happened to me. And I said to them, this is what the counselor did to me. I am number three in my graduating class. Can you imagine what he's doing to your kids who perhaps do not have the same kind of grades that I have? And so, of course, the community, these were all farm workers, they were all outraged, and they asked me what they could do about it to change the situation. I suggested that we have a meeting with the school administrators and I would set it up, and that's what I did. So I went to the school administration and I said, you've always complained that the parents of the Hispanic kids, of the Chicano kids, do not come to school, are not interested. Well, I'm going to set up a meeting and you can go and you can speak to them. They agreed to do that, and I insisted that my counselor go. And my counselor went, and I stood in front of everyone, and I related to everyone what had happened to me. And the principal apparently didn't know any of this, and the counselor ended up getting fired. That didn't help me because I still had not been able to get into a college. And so I just decided that was fate. That was my lot in life. I was not to go to college. But I was working in the office that was run by the migrant ministry. And there was a VISTA volunteer there whose name I don't even remember. And he and I got along really well. We would fight about who's going to go out and pump the gas. And I'd say, it's your turn. And he mentioned it to Cesar Chavez. He told Cesar Chavez what had happened. And I don't know what Cesar Chavez did, but the next thing I know, I am being admitted to San Jose State. I got a letter from San Jose State, and I was offered admission for that fall semester.
Excellent.
Could we tell it?
Not sending the transcripts.
Okay.
We use that part because that's uh-huh. going to be outraged. So we just do it.
Yes. Why don't you just sort of compress the story a little bit?
Okay.
Tell us the high spots.
Okay.
Okay. So you had a dream, but there was a problem.
I had a dream, but there was a problem, and the problem is how to get into college. So I went to my counselor, and I asked him to sign so that my transcripts could get sent to various colleges where I had applied. And my counselor refused. He refused to sign. And at that time, if the counselor didn't sign, the transcripts didn't get sent. And when I asked him why he was refusing to sign, he told me that I would not make it in college, that I should consider that my parents had no money, that I should go to a nice secretarial school, that would be good for me, and that if I went to college, I would become crazy. And he knew other Chicanos that had gone to college, and they had turned crazy, and he didn't want that to happen to me. So he refused. He refused to sign my transcripts. And as a result of that, I was not accepted in any of the colleges to which I had applied. And that is notwithstanding the fact that I had already received a scholarship, a California Opportunity Grant. They could pay the state was willing to pay for all of my fees, my tuition and fees. I had received other scholarships, but it didn't do me any good because the schools did not accept me because my transcripts were not sent.
Seems like those days are long ago in the past, but do you think there's still a struggle to be fought today?
Absolutely. I don't think those days are long gone. I mean, we're talking, granted, a long time ago. We're talking 1968 now. A very long time ago, there was a lot of racial prejudice, a lot of discrimination. The racial discrimination was out in the open, like it was with my counselor, for example. my counselor was obviously trying to keep me from going to college. For whatever racial animus reasons. Now, there is still discrimination. It is not outward. It is not as open as it was in the late 60s, but it exists. You see it on a day-to-day basis. It is not as visible, but you still see it in the laws that are being passed. You see it in the classes that are being offered at the high school. You see it, all you have to do is look at the numbers. How many Hispanics are going to UCLA, for example? How many Hispanics are going to the UC schools? How many African Americans? What are the numbers? That tells you a lot about what is going on in our society. Is there work to be done? Absolutely.
Well, I think you've done your part. Oh, yes, Teatro Campesino.
Yes.
You mentioned spending time with them on the march, and also they'd be at the Friday night meetings. What was it like being around that energy and those exciting people?
Every Friday evening, my father and I and my uncles and my cousins and the compadres and so on, we would caravan from Porterville to Delano for the Friday meetings, to go to the strike meetings, the huelga meetings. And there would be politicians speaking there. There would be other individuals speaking. And at the end of the meeting, it was our dessert. The Teatro Campesino would perform. And that was Luis Valdez, Danny Valdez, Carolina, Agustin Lira. And, of course, they were the highlight of the meeting. They would perform with no props. They would come out with a sign saying Esquirol. Another one would have a sign saying Patron. And they would do these impromptu skits. They were hilarious. They were short, concise, to the point. It was the highlight of the week for the farm workers. I mean, this was the only entertainment we had. Then they would sing songs, and we would all join in, ending, of course, with De Colores, which everyone knew, and songs like revolutionary songs from Mexico, like La Delita, and songs like that. I saw Agustin Lira and Carolina recently at a reunion of sorts that we had about a year and a half ago. And I told them at that time that I don't think they realized the impact that they had on everyone. They uplifted our spirits, and it would last for the week. And then we would go back the next Friday. And when times got tough for me in school, I would think of the Teatro Campesino, and it would make me laugh, and I would think of their songs, and I would feel better, and I would feel that it wasn't just they were songs that related to the union, but they were just so uplifting that it would make me feel like I could succeed at anything that I attempted to do.
Maybe we can just sit for a minute now. We record silence. It's very mysterious and metaphysical. Silence is different everywhere.